Welcome back to the Moms Do Business Different podcast. I'm your host, Kay Hillman, believer, wife, mama, and creator of the Shmoney Mama Gang. Myself and my team support mamas who are service providers and coaches in creating strategies that make buyers say, take my shmoney, and create companies that bring in high cash months doing the bare minimum. Join me for conversations on money, business growth, sales, productivity, and the mindset of being a mom who does business different. Mama, are you ready for the vibe? Listen up and let's get this shmoney.
Hey, boo, hey. Happy Tuesday or whatever day you're listening to this on. So, why am I doing this to myself? I don't know. I am literally recording this episode and both of my kids are wide awake. So, I don't know why I'm doing this to myself because literally both my kids are up. They are playing. They are doing their thing. And I decided I'm going to record this podcast episode. But it's because I've been just like reading online. You know, I love me some Threads. I've been reading on Threads and just a bunch of different platforms. Yeah, I don't think this episode is going to go well, but we're going to see how it goes. Go ahead, put it on the shelf. So today I'm going to be talking about the 9 shifts in sales and in selling in 2024. And I really want to have this conversation or talk about this because I have just been seeing a lot of conversations about, you know, the current climate, like whether it's, are we going into a recession, all these different things. And here's my thing. I am not one of those people that are like, oh, the recession, blah, blah, blah. I'm just not one of those people. I don't let myself go there mentally because it's just not for me, right? It's not for me to go there mentally. I don't need to stress myself out that way. That being said, I'm not so delusional that I don't know that these things are real. So I like to err on the side of, I'm not going to say caution, but I like to err on the side of, okay, there may be some changes. There may be some shifts in the industry or in selling or in marketing, whatever. And so I'm just going to adjust accordingly. I'm going to have a plan B, a plan C, a plan D, and, you know, call it a day. So I want to share just a few shifts in sales and in selling that I have noticed. These shifts or these trends, these changes actually started like 2023, maybe even 2022. I feel like a lot of people didn't really see the writing on the wall in 2022 that we were going to have, you know, a more challenging 2023. I feel like a lot of people, myself included, you know, we noticed that 2023 was just a bit of a challenging year when it came to selling offers and to sales and all those different kinds of things. And so I feel like now that people are, you know, kind of getting their feet back under themselves or deciding like, yes, I'm going to keep doing this. I just want to talk about a few things that, or a few shifts you need to be mindful of and maybe thinking about as you are selling or as you are thinking about your sales strategy in 2024. So the first thing is that, and this is more so to do with your buyers, right? Wow. You okay? So this has more to do with your buyers. But this is, you may notice or you may see that there's a lot of stress and uncertainty about money. So when that happens and this kind of manifests itself in, you're going to see more people maybe ghosting you. You might see a lot of people backing out of their purchases, right? So like they say, oh yeah, I'm interested, whatever, whatever. You send them the invoice, they don't pay. Or you're talking to the DMs or whatever. They're like, yeah, you know, I'm going to sign up tonight and they don't sign up, right? Or they come back and they tell you something like, oh, you know, I actually talked to my husband or whatever. And we, you know, we just agreed that this is not the right time or the night. So they'll say something like, you know, we agreed that this wasn't the right time or this is not the right offer. This is not what I, you know, think I needed or whatever, right? You'll see a lot of that happening this year. Or, and this is the one that just really kind of is just, it's hard. It's a hard pill to swallow, but you'll see a lot of defaults. Lately, I've been seeing a lot of people sharing screenshots of like how many client defaults they had in 2023. And I don't think that that trend is going anywhere. I think that it's still going to be something that happens this year because unfortunately, and I truly believe that this is not on purpose, but sometimes people invest in things and they just simply don't have the money for it, but they really do believe that it's going to help them or that it's going to make a change for them or whatever. And so they make that investment, not realizing that, you know, 3, you know, even 2 months from now, it may actually be a struggle for them to make that payment. And so one big shift that you're going to see or that has been happening is that there is a lot of stress and uncertainty about money for various different types of people. Now, there are some people that obviously are not stressed. They don't, you know, really care. Like that might not be their issue, but this may be something that you run into. And so that may also shift or inform how you are selling in the season or what kind of offers you are putting out in the season. So that's thing number one. Thing number two is that you are going to see a increase in market saturation. Okay, this is not a bad thing though, because I know we always talk, I mean, we've been talking about for years, oh, the industry is saturated, blah, blah, blah. Here's the thing. Yes, there are a lot of people that may be in the coaching industry or in your industry or whatever, but So you're going to see, you know, you may see a lot of other people in your industry, but this is not a bad thing. This just means that differentiation and clarity is very important, and it's actually necessary, right? Like, it's necessary that you know what makes you different. It's necessary and important that you know what differentiates you from everybody else in the industry. But more importantly, it's not even necessarily just about how are you different. It's how are your offers different? How is your program promise different? How is the delivery of your offer different from everyone else's, right? That is the key here. And that's going to be the thing that really allows you to have that leg up when it comes to your sales strategy or just how you're selling in general. The third thing is people spending is going to be a lot more aligned with their priorities. I've been saying this for years, but people are just a lot more savvy when it comes to their buying decisions. People are using a lot more wisdom and discernment, and they are really actively deciding whether or not they want to make a purchase. And so, kind of going back to that last piece about market saturation, there are a lot of options for them to look at. So they are really discerning, and they are really using a lot of wisdom to figure out, okay, this person is a good fit for me because of this reason. This person is a good fit for that reason. But which one is the actual best offer? Which one is actually going to give me, you know, I hate to say it, but like the most bang for my buck, right? Like who do I feel like I'm going to have the best experience with? Who do I feel like, you know, really understands and knows me? These are the questions that people are asking themselves. But more importantly, people spending is aligned with their priorities. So sometimes people will not purchase simply because it is not important for them right now. And I've talked about this in an episode, I can't remember which one, but I talked about the fact that like people aren't going to invest until the problem they're having is so big that they need a solution right now. It's one reason why whenever I'm helping people with their offers, whenever I am talking about an offer with somebody, I'm always asking the deeper question of why? Why do they need this right now? Why do they want this? Because people are not going to buy if there's not an immediate need or if they're not going to be fulfilled in some sort of way immediately, right? So if there's not any kind of instant gratification or something to it. So either they're going to buy because there's a lot of pain, like there's a big problem, they need this problem solved most immediately, or it's going to provide them some sort of pleasure, some sort of instant gratification that they can't not get this thing, right? So that's why people buy the latest phone or the latest, you know, MacBook or whatever, right? People buy the latest shoes, whatever. Like people buy all these random things. It feels random, but it's not actually random. It really does give people that dopamine hit of like, oh, you know, I'm experiencing a pleasure from being able to buy this thing for myself, right? It feels like, you know, we always say guilty pleasure or I'm spoiling myself, right? That's like, we're not saying that by accident. It's literally human nature. That is how people buy on a psychological level. So you're going to see that right now, people spending is going to be aligned with their priorities. And while you may think what you sell and what you do is important, and it probably is, there's still going to be people out there that it's not a priority for them right now. And you can't let yourself get caught up in that, right? You have to really focus on who are the people that are ready for me right now, and how can I serve them right now, right? How can I reach them right now? How can I reach the people who they are aligned? Like I am aligned with their priorities, so they're going to invest, right? That's where your focus needs to shift to. The fourth thing is there's a rise in AI and automations, right? We've been seeing this for the last couple of years where, you know, ManyChat has come up, or ManyChat, ChatGPT, different automated sales tools for like sales conversations, right? These things are not good or bad. I'm not going to say that anything is good or bad. I don't know, right? Time will tell whether or not this is a good thing or a bad thing. I have yet to see that this is actually a bad thing. But it's just different, right? And either you can get on the bandwagon and you can embrace it, or you can wait, right? And it's okay to wait on it. It's okay to, like, you know, use some discernment and just kind of wait, or just stick to what you're doing, right? That's what I've been doing. I've been, you know, sticking to what I'm doing. I'll implement something when I feel like it or when I can. But otherwise, I don't really get myself too hyped up on, oh, this latest tool I need to just jump on, right? But it is a thing, right? And it is shifting the sales climate, right? The sales ecosystem. It is shifting how people relate to sales and selling right now, because some people, some audiences, some communities, they are not interested in automated conversations, right? They're just not, right? And then other people, they love automated conversations because they can get answers very quickly. They can get what they need very quickly, right? So it literally depends on your industry, on your buyer type, right? It depends on so many things, but this is a shift that you have to be mindful of because it could be affecting your sales or your sales strategy or how you're actually selling. And using it improperly can also have an adverse effect, right? So if you're overly using automations, that may be removing that personal element that people actually need. Therefore, now you're not going to make the sales that you thought you were going to make, right? So I do feel like there is not a limit, but there's like a level you can go with your automations and systems that removes the human aspect and can actually turn off buyers, especially higher ticket buyers, right? Lower ticket buyers, they're really, you know, they're okay with, or if it's a lower ticket offer, I should say, not low ticket buyers, but like a lower ticket offer, you can get away with a lot of automations for that. But the more like premium the service becomes or more premium your offer is, the more I'm like, you gotta find somewhere to add those personal elements, right? Because that does make a deal or it is a factor that people take into account when they are in the sales process. Thing number five, people are taking more time in the consideration phase. Okay. People are taking more time in the consideration phase. And I kind of already alluded to this when I talked about market saturation and differentiation, but the truth is that people are taking way more time considering your offer. They're taking way more time considering, you know, should they invest with you or should they invest with somebody else, right? People are just thinking on it a lot more. They're taking time to think before they purchase. And this, again, this is not a bad thing. All these things that I'm stating, they really are neutral things. Like, you can take a neutral stance to it. It's just something to think about if you wanted to shift something, if you want to test an idea in your sales process, or if you're just wondering why aren't sales happening the way they used to happen, or why do I feel like it's such a struggle? So if you're asking yourself, like, why does it feel like a struggle for me to sell right now? Lord Jesus Christ. Anyway, these are things that I want you to be considering, just thinking about. So again, I don't want you to think that any of these things are good or bad. I literally want you to have a very neutral, very, let me be curious on how I can approach sales and selling in 2024, given these shifts that are happening. So like I said, people are taking more time in that consideration phase, which means that it's your job in your marketing and in your sales process to give them the information or give them the experience they need to make a well-informed decision. I've said this countless times before, but buyers, all they want to know and all they need to experience in that buyer journey, like the most important thing they need to experience, is they need to be validated every step of the way that they're making the right decision. Nobody wants to make a bad purchase. You know, nobody wants to have buyer's remorse, right? Talk about buyer's remorse. I haven't really deep dove into talking about it here on the podcast, but buyer's remorse is the worst feeling ever. And a lot of people have buyer's remorse, you know, after they've invested in the experiences and what they thought or whatever. So it's important that everything matches, right? It's important that your selling experience matches the actual experience of your offer, et cetera, et cetera. But that is also why people are taking more time in the consideration phase, because truthfully, people have just been burned, right? In the online space, in the coaching industry, in, you know, in the service provider industry, like, it doesn't matter, across the board, people have been burned, right? People have made investments, big or small. It doesn't matter. Investing a dollar and having buyer's remorse feels just as painful as investing $10,000 and having buyer's remorse. The dollar amount doesn't matter, but because so many people have experienced that, they are being a lot more, discerning, right? And they are really taking more time in that consideration phase. They're wanting to get on a call. They're wanting to read a sales page. It's why I did that episode, the episode hasn't actually come out yet, but I'm doing an episode talking about why your brand and your branding matters. Like, this is why your branding matters, because people are taking more time in the consideration phase and they are measuring you against everybody else that they could invest with. And they are really questioning, can you do what you say you do? Are you going to actually deliver on your promise, right? So that's what people need to see in order for them to actually make a positive purchasing decision. Yes, baby. Yes, baby. So kind of going off of that, thing number six is intimacy in the sales process, even for low ticket offers though. And that's the shift, right? There's always been a certain level of intimacy people have wanted in the sales process, right? People want to get on, you know, for high ticket offers, people want to get on a sales call. For services, people want to get on a call. People want to, you know, read a sales page or whatever. But I have actually noticed that people want intimacy in the sales process, even for a low ticket offer. What made me notice this is last year, and I talked about it on the podcast, how like a lot of people came to me to help them launch their memberships last year. And something that I saw happen a lot is that even though these memberships were $30, $40, $97 a month, right? Even though that is a low ticket offer, people still wanted to get on a sales call. people were still like getting into my clients' DMs and they were, you know, asking questions and they were trying to get further clarification. People were reading the sales page. We would like, you know, track like where people were reading on the sales page. People were reading every single word on the sales page. They were watching the videos. They were consuming all the content, right? This goes back to that last piece about the consideration phase, right? So people are taking more time in the consideration phase, but people really also want the intimacy in the sales process. They also have a increased expectation of the experience and they want personalization. So whether it's a low ticket offer or a high ticket offer, it does not matter how much your offer is. People are looking for and they are craving intimacy. And this intimacy, I've realized it does not have to be one-on-one. Something that I've seen work really well. Is I have seen people do, and I've done it too, right? Where I do like a open house or, you know, they call it open house. Open house has been like the main word that I've used for, but basically just getting on a call and inviting anybody that's interested to come to that call. It's something that I've done several times for my offers that has worked really well, but I've always done it for a higher ticket offer. But in the last year or so, I've noticed a few people doing it for their lower ticket offers. And I was like, this is a really good idea. And some of my clients implemented it and they were able to get higher conversions because of the level of intimacy you can have with your buyer in that kind of setting. So the shift that I want you to really think about is that there is a certain level of intimacy. There's a certain expectation that customers are having, that clients are having, that potential buyers are having right now, whether your offer is low ticket or high ticket. And it's important that you notice these things and that you don't turn people off with that messaging of, which we saw this happen a lot in 2023, where people are like, I don't get on sales calls. I don't, you know, if you want to work with me, you go to my website, you just pay, you just check out, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, yeah, but you're also the same person that, like, you know, no offense, you closed your business this year, you know what I'm saying? Or you closed your business at the end of last year. And it's probably because you were lacking that intimacy with your sales process, right? So this is not to, you know, not to bash them or anything, but it's just the truth, right? We have to look at the fruit of what people are doing and what they're saying. So if you are removing intimacy, if you're removing if you're removing access to you to ask questions or to get further information, you may see a shift in your sales or in how people are relating to you and your brand. So that's the sixth thing. The seventh shift that has come up and that I've noticed, and we've all been experiencing this because it's such a freaking headache, but it's data privacy. It's the compliance. It's all the little regulations that are popping out every 5 seconds. We just recently had that whole email thing where, like, you had to, I don't even know what it was, to be honest. Like, I still don't fully understand what was going on, but basically, long story short, Gmail and Yahoo, I believe, basically were saying, like, if you didn't do this certain thing, if you didn't, like, verify your website or something, I don't know, but if you didn't do that, then basically your emails would not be able to be delivered properly to your email list. Well, that is a huge, that's a huge deal, right? If you sell via email, if email is part of your sales process, if you have funnels and different things like that, then that needs to be on point, right? And that's a huge shift, right? That's a huge change that can affect your ability to sell. On the other end, there was also that thing that I think it was like Apple did it, where they like added those like data privacy things or whatever. So like there was no more tracking, which made ads harder. Now at the time I wasn't running ads, but if you are an ads girly, you know, then you fully understand like data privacy and the compliance, all that kind of stuff. The GDPR thing that happened a couple of years ago. The thing is that like, this is a shift that I feel like is always going to be evolving and happening because people are just really, they're really serious about data privacy, right? And that's not a bad thing. Like, again, this is neutral, even though it's annoying when the changes pop up out of nowhere. Cause like this last email change, it really popped up out of nowhere. And I don't feel like we were given adequate time to actually change it. I feel like it just happened really, really fast. But usually there's a lot of time given to business owners so that you have time to change things, right? GDPR, they gave us like a year to get that all situated and figured out, even though it really wasn't that deep or it wasn't that difficult. Like they gave us enough time to really like think through our strategy and realign things so that we could, you know, properly handle that situation. But I'm saying all this to say that is a shift that you're going to see in sales and selling continuing, right? Is these issues with data privacy, with compliance, different types of regulations that you just have to be mindful of in your sales process. There was another thing. Well, you know what? I'm not going to talk about it because I don't even know what it was and I don't want to have to explain it. But just think about those things as shifts that are happening in 2024 that will affect your sales process and your selling in 2024. Thing number eight, and we're almost done. I cannot believe I've only had to stop like 5 times. This is really good. So number eight, and this is a really big shift that happened last year that is going to trickle over into this year. And I think it's only going to get bigger this year, but it's the shift of juggling your sales goals and your targets with ethical selling practices. Okay, listen, there are people that are anti pain point marketing, they're anti income based marketing, and all those different things, right? And again, this is not a good or bad situation. You just have to decide where you fall on the spectrum, right? Because it's going to affect how you sell and the sales that you make in 2024. Because the truth is that you may have sales goals and sales targets, but your selling practices may not be the most ethical in the world, right? So if you're like cold DMing people, that is not the most ethical thing in the world. So ethics is becoming a really big deal in marketing and sales, which it always should have been, right? People using scarcity, people using all these different things, right? It's always been a big deal, but I think it's becoming a bigger deal because we have a lot of people who are speaking out against specific things. Here's the thing that I want to say, though. I understand ethics fully, but I also feel like sometimes, I know that it's human nature and it's human psychology that there are always going to be a group of people that are going to speak out against things regardless, right? They're going to take it to the extreme and they're going to make the extremes seem like the norm. So what I mean by this is, for example, a lot of people are like, you know, don't do income-based marketing. It's scammy. It's this, that, and the third, right? But they're only speaking about the extreme cases and then they generalize it, right? In general, speaking about your own income, it's not a bad thing. It's not a bad tool to use in your marketing, right? It's a way to celebrate yourself. It's a way to show people what you've done so people can see that it's possible for themselves, blah, 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 blah. Where it becomes a problem is people that only share how much money they make and you never hear about their clients, right? Then in that case, it's like, okay, you're taking this sales tactic or this sales strategy too far. And then it's almost like you're, I'm not going to say gaslighting, but it's almost like you're, you know, tricking people into working with you just because you make money, but then like your clients on the back end don't make any money, right? Now, in those types of cases, in those extreme cases, yes, that tactic is being used improperly. But what people will do is then twist that to make it a thing where it's like, in general, no one should ever market their own income. And I'm not going to say that I think it's wrong or right. It's just you have to decide where you fall on the spectrum, right? For me personally, I choose not to talk about my revenue because I don't actually want to, right? Like, I don't actually want to share the exact dollar amounts, but it doesn't mean that one day I won't share it. And it doesn't mean that I haven't done it in the past, because in the past I have shared when I've hit a revenue goal that I had, right? But this goes back to my entire point of the shift, which is the shift is that you're going to have to figure out how to juggle your goals, like your sales goals, your sales targets, with ethical selling practices. And you have to decide for yourself where you fall on the spectrum. And you have to kind of create a level of tunnel vision to not get discouraged, or to not, you know, just because somebody else said, oh, don't do pain point messaging, now all of a sudden you don't do pain point messaging. It's like, if that's the strategy that you use, if it works for you, and if it's aligned with your ethics, with your values, and with your business practices, you just have to kind of ride that wave, unless God himself is really convicting you of like, oh, you know, this is really actually not a good way to do things, right? Because here's the thing, and I've said this before briefly, but I'm just going to be like fully transparent. There's a lot of people that will give advice, or they will teach things, they will coach on things or whatever, and they're not making any money, right? And I'm not saying this to be mean, but it's like they don't even have a successful business themselves for them to tell you not to do something, right? So it's like, we have to be discerning on who we're taking advice from. We have to be discerning on like, okay, is this person, you know, telling me this because they're mad and they have their own agenda? Or are they telling me this because, you know, this really is something that's not ethical, right? And yes, there are certain things that are, I guess you could say, black and white, but there are a lot of things in ethics and just in life and in logic and in theology that are not black and white. They are actually a gray area. I'm sorry, not theology. I did not mean theology. But, you know, there are a lot of things like in marketing and sales and ethics and all kind of stuff that there is a little bit of gray area. And if there's a little bit of gray area, I mean, you have to be discerning for yourself on that. But I just want to say that right now, a big shift you're going to see is a lot of people that are going to be speaking out against like, oh, I'm anti this, I'm anti that, I'm anti pain point marketing, blah, blah, blah. And you have to be discerning for yourself to know like, okay, these are my sales goals. These are my targets. These are my values. These are my core values. This is what is ethical to me, but this is what I find not ethical. And then you have to ride that line, but you also have to understand that wherever you fall on the spectrum, it is going to affect your sales. It's going to affect your sales process. It's going to affect how you're actually selling. And you have to have peace with that. You have to have contentment with that, right? Because at the end of the day, I'm not here to tell you that you're doing something the wrong way, but I do want you to know that for some people, they may view it, one way or another, right? They may view it bad or they may view it good, right? So some people are going to be activated and empowered and challenged by you sharing your income. Other people are going to be completely turned off. It's going to be a red flag for them, right? But I mean, you can't, as a business, you cannot focus on every single person that doesn't like what you're doing, right? Because for all the people, for the one person that doesn't like what you're doing, or for the 10 people that don't like it, there's hundreds of people that do like it, right? So you have to decide where you fall ethically on the spectrum. And again, this is not me saying that one is bad or one is good. I actually love me some pain point marketing. I think that there's like a time and a place for it. I think there are times that it may not be the most helpful thing to the strategy, but I still think that it's a part of the strategy. It's still something that should be used. But it's just like, you know, just like with my income, sometimes I'll share it, sometimes I don't, right? Right now I'm not in a I want to share season, and that's okay, right? So again, you have to figure out where you are, but this I'm talking so much about this one because it really is a really big shift, and it's also one of the most vocal shifts that you see on the online space of people juggling their sales, like their sales goals, their sales targets, their sales wins, all those kind of things, with the actual ethical side of selling, the ethical side of marketing. It's just a really big conversation happening right now. And it's something that can make you feel almost paralyzed with what you should do. Because for every person that's out there saying don't pain point market, there's other people that only teach pain point marketing. And for every person out there that's saying don't share your income, there's going to be another person out there that's saying, oh, share your income because it's going to empower and activate people, right? So it's like, it's not black or white. And it's not to say that anybody, any one person is wrong. It's just you have to decide for yourself, where do you fall on that spectrum of ethics? And in addition to that, you have to recognize that wherever you fall, there is going to be some kind of, I'm not gonna say repercussion, but there's gonna be some type of effect that it's gonna have on how you sell, your sales process, your ability to sell, and different things in 2024, right? So you also have to kind of be in tune with not just your own ethics, but the ethics of your potential buyers, right? The ethics of your community. Because if your community is not interested in your income and you're only selling income, then baby, either you need a new community or you need to cut it out, right? Like, so they can decide it for you, right? So there are a lot of things at play here, but it's just something that you want to think about. I should have put this one earlier because honestly, this one is a really, really big deal. This is one that I see a lot of people struggling with. A lot of people struggled with it last year, and something that is just continuing to trickle over into 2024. And then the last one that I want to share is that you are going to see a shift in having to do more for the sale, but also having to do more within your offer. Okay. So what this all boils down to is, like, I basically want to say now is not the time to raise your prices just because, right? We went through a good 3 to 4 years where people were just raising their prices off of vibes, right? People were just saying like, oh, charge this, you know, charge, you know, at minimum, you should charge $1,000 for a high ticket offer, or at minimum, you should do this, right? People were saying all these things. People were saying, you know, how to raise your prices incrementally and all that kind of stuff, right? And I'm not saying don't raise your prices. All I'm saying is now is not the time to just wake up and be like, yeah, I'm gonna charge more, right? Like, there was a season where this was going on. Maybe you didn't experience it, but I promise you that's what was happening, right? And a lot of messaging and marketing is around charge your value, charge your worth. It, you know, you're not charging enough, blah, 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 blah. Here's what I want to say. The shift right now, and this happened in 2023, but it's only becoming greater in 2024. The shift is that you are having to do more to get the sale. The buyer's journey is taking a little bit longer, right? I've talked about in an episode about how one of my big things is a 7-day conversion and then the 30-day conversion. I am noticing right now that my conversion timeline, like the timeline of how long it takes me to convert a new person, is taking me 30 days, 60 days, maybe even 90 days, right? Like the sales journey process is becoming a lot longer. There's a lot more shucking and jiving that you got to do for the sale. And it's not a bad thing. Again, I want to remind you, none of this stuff is good or bad. It's all neutral. It's just, you need to think about these things as you are selling, as you are going through your sales process or creating your sales process, and use it to manage your own expectations on how things are going to happen and go forward for you in 2024. When you can manage your expectations, when you can say, you know what, I'm having to do a little bit more for the sale. It's taking me a little bit longer to convert clients. I'm having to get on a sales call and be in the DMs. I'm having to follow up more or whatever. When you know those things, you can walk into the sales process and you can engage with every inquiry or every potential buyer or every lead that you get. You can engage with them in a emotionally clean headspace because you're not thinking to yourself, oh my gosh, this person didn't convert on the call, so now, you know, something's wrong, I'm failing. It's like, no, that's not what's happening at all. Buyers are getting more savvy. Buyers are spending more time in the consideration phase. But also, this last point that I'm making is that you literally have to do more for the sale, right? Like, gone are the days that you can just, oh, here's my sales page, buy my offer, right? Like, people are just way more savvy. People are way more discerning. People want more information. They want to talk to you more. But also, people want to really see and know and trust that what you're selling them on is what you're actually going to do, right? Again, like I said previously, people have been burned. People have been so burned by making investments, whether it's in the industry or just spending in general, right? Like spending money on a pair of shoes or spending money on a bag, you know, that ends up not being good quality, right? Like, it doesn't matter what the investment is. People are just getting a lot more savvy because they have made poor investments, right? So because they've made bad investments, they are being a lot more savvy. So it's requiring us to now have to do more to get the sale, okay? And in doing that, you have to just think to yourself that it's like, don't just jump to raise your prices, right? Because something I see a lot of people do is like, oh, my offer's not selling. So, you know, in order for me to recoup, right, in order for me to hit my sales goal, my sales target, like we just talked about in the last one, I'm gonna raise my prices. That way I need less clients to hit my goals. And it's like, if you can't sign them at the lower offer, don't raise your price, right? Like, because you're not going to even believe that you can sell it at that price point. So it's like, we have to really be thinking in this season and in 2024 in particular, you need to be thinking about the fact that, like, okay, I'm going to have to do a little bit more for the sale. I'm going to have to do a little bit more in the sales process. I'm going to have to do a little bit more in the customer journey and how I'm marketing. But also, I need to showcase what that I'm doing more inside of my offers. And here's the thing. We used to be able to put up offers that were like super bare minimum. And you know I love me some bare minimum. So you know it's bad if I'm saying bare minimum ain't enough. But like, people used to put up, you know, oh, get this 10 masterclass bundle and it would be like 10 Facebook Lives. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but I'm just saying, really, bruh, you packaged up your Facebook Live and literally sent me the link to your Facebook Live and charged me $200 for this. Like, come on now, be for real. And it's not to say that their Facebook Lives were low value or whatever, but it's just like, it's as a consumer, the expectation, right? The expectation that your consumer has, they're looking for more. And so right now, the shift that you're going to see is that you're going to have to do more for the sale, but you're also going to have to do more within the offer, right? The offer, the value has to match, right? You got to keep the same energy. The offer needs to, what do they say? Surprise and delight, right? You need to, what is it? Under promise and over deliver. And I don't mean like grossly under promise. I don't want you to like tell people that they're getting, you know, the least of the least so that you can over deliver. But it's like, you have to come correct in this season. You really have to be somebody that is not just charging high ticket just because you can charge high ticket and then getting frustrated when people ghost you or when people, you know, say, hey, you know, not at this time or whatever, right? Like, you have to really shift your perspective and say, you know what? I do have to get on sales calls right now, right? Like, maybe you're somebody that's like, I'm not doing sales calls. You might need to change that, okay? There were a couple of years, and to be honest, I had a baby at the time. There were a couple of years that I was like, I can't do sales calls. And so I did not promote sales calls. But what I would do is inside my emails, I would say, if you want to hop on a 15-minute chat, we can do that. So it still gave them that option, right? But now I lead with the sales call, or I lead with let's talk in the DMs about this. Like, let's do a voice chat about this. Like, let's do something if you want to talk about it, because I recognize that right now there is more you have to do for the sale, whether it's a low ticket offer or a high ticket offer. People want the experience, but more importantly, people need to trust in you. They need to trust in the value of the offer. They need to trust that you're going to be able to get them the promise, right? The program promise that you're saying that you can get. And also they're testing, right? They're testing to see if they, like, what kind of experience can they get inside your offer? People ask me all the time with Shmoney, like, what do we actually get inside of it? Like, what's happening inside of there? And now I have the opportunity to share. There are so many things that are inside there that you get, right? So they can really see that value, and they can see that I'm going above and beyond just your everyday membership, right? Like, this is not just a membership where, oh, you know, you come in and there's a monthly workshop and you can ask questions. It's like, no, baby, this is not that kind of membership. But this kind of membership, you get templates, you get breakdowns, you have action plans. There's an actual entire suite, an entire dashboard telling you what you need to do daily, weekly, monthly, yearly, bi-yearly, right? Like, there's all these different dashboards in there to really support you in how, like, what are you implementing? What are you doing? We have a messaging audit. We're coming up in April. I'm doing a messaging audit. In March, we did a DM to conversions strategy workshop. Like, in these workshops, one, they're interactive. Like, when they're live, they're interactive. Sometimes I do, like, just content drops where I just drop content. But other times, the workshops are actually interactive. There's office hours. There's fill-in-the-blank templates. Like, there's so many things that, depending on what you say you need support and help with, I'm able to say, hey, there's a resource here for that. But not only is there a resource, like just a video you can watch, there's actual templates and blueprints and plans for you to implement, so you can actually not just learn the thing in theory, but that you can actually do the thing. You can actually execute and implement the thing for yourself, right? That is what I mean by doing more within your offers, right? That sounds like a lot for a membership, right? I mean, and it is, right? For some people, they look at me and, like, even my coach was like, girl, that's a lot for a membership. And you know what? I even thought that too at one point. I even thought to myself, like, you know what, Kay, that's a lot to do in a membership. But then I thought about what my clients need, right? And so this might not be the case for you, right? For you, your clients may not need all that. But when you think about your business, with your sales strategy, how you're selling, how you're creating your offers in 2024, it's important that you think about holistically the fact that you have to do more for the sale, but you also need to do more within your offers, because that's what people are looking for, right? People are looking for more than just teach me how to do this thing, right? Like, they're looking for more than that. They're looking for, like, give them a worksheet, give them a workbook, give them something for them to implement, give them something so they can walk away with something tangible. They can walk away with something that is actionable or something, right? Like, we have to. And you know what? I'm probably, like, speaking to the wrong people on this, because I'm sure if you're listening to me, you're not janky. You know what I'm saying? And let's call it what it is. It's janky. It's janky when people just sell stuff and they just resell their social media content, or they resell, you know, somebody else's ideas and stuff like that, right? Like, that's janky. You're not that kind of person, so I don't have to, like, beat this into the ground. But I just want to make it clear that the last and one of the other really big shifts that you're going to see is that you're going to have to do more to get the sale, and you're also going to have to do more within your offers to actually be able to sell them, right? Because gone are the days that you can just have a simple membership or a simple, you know, course that has no, you know, has two modules or something like that. Like, you know, people used to put up, like, these little mini courses and stuff like that, which, again, there's a time and a place for it, right? It's not saying that a mini course is a bad thing, but, like, there's a time and a place for these things. But people are just looking for a little bit more. And you're going to notice that when it comes to selling, you're going to have to go an extra mile or an extra length that maybe you haven't been accustomed to going recently. And I get that as a mom, this might feel overwhelming. This might feel like, you know, all these things. It might feel like, oh my gosh, like, I'm having to do so much in order to sell. But the thing is that when you are really dialed in on your marketing, when you're really dialed in on your message, when you're really dialed in on who it is that you're serving and what kind of result you're going to get them, this actually does work itself out, right? It's just a matter of you being patient, right? It's a matter of you being like, okay, this is what I do. This is who I serve. This is how I'm serving them. Okay, now I just need to be patient and let my marketing work, right? Let my marketing work. Let my customer journey experience, let that work, right? So that when they get to the sales process, it's as easy as, okay, let's get in the DMs and talk, right? Let's get on. I did a whole workshop literally in Sach Money, so you need to be in there. I did a whole workshop on, okay, what, like, how do we have this DM conversation? How do we sell in the DMs, right? How do we take it from, oh, I like your content, to, all right, where's the link, right? Or, you know, I'm gonna buy tonight, right? I love it when somebody tells me, okay, I'm gonna buy tonight. Literally, I just did a whole DM conversation with somebody the other day, and I think that she sent me like 10 voice notes, and I sent her like, I want to say 6 voice notes, and at the end she was like, okay, so I'm gonna go buy it tonight, and it was great, and she bought that night, right? Like, that's it can be that simple. Why? Because I'm dialed in on my offer. I'm dialed in on who I serve, right? That differentiation piece, right? I'm very clear on that, like, what makes me different. I'm very clear on what this offer is and why is it necessary, right? So I'm using all these shifts that I see in selling. So I'm using all these things in sales, in the sales industry, in the selling, you know, climate, whatever you want to call it. I'm using all these things to then inform my own strategy, to realign my expectations. And, you know, as a mom, it's still possible to do, right? Like, it's not like this is, I'm telling you anything that, you know, now you got to spend hours and hours fixing stuff. No, it's just a different posture, right? It's a different heart posture, or it's a different mindset that you go into when you're thinking about your sales process. Like I said, full transparency. I used to be a 7-day, you know, 7-day conversion girly, right? And I still am that way, right? Like, I still love the idea, and I still try to, you know, close in 7 days, right? I try to close in 1 day, to be honest. I'm gonna be honest. I try to close in 1 day. But I recognize that the landscape has changed, right? The industry, and not just the industry, like the industry that I'm in has changed, but just the whole culture around buying and selling, the whole culture around buying for my consumers has changed, right? The economy has changed. Different things are going on in the world globally. Different things are happening in the United States, right? There are just so many different things that are happening that affect and play a role or have an impact on my ability to sell. And so I don't get caught up in the mind drama of all those details. I just adjust. I just shift, right? I just shift to what's going on. So I've shifted from, okay, I'm trying to close in 7 days, or I'm trying to close in 30 days. And instead I'm like, you know what? Okay, maybe I have to work a little bit harder. Like, maybe my sales cycle for some people has changed from, you know, 1 day or 7 days to now it's 30 days, or now it's 90 days, you know, in order for me to close. And that's okay, right? I just readjust my goals. I realign my expectations. I shift, you know, my energy around the conversations I'm having. So instead of me trying to just go straight for the sale or try to close somebody most immediately, now I'm doing temperature checks, right? I'm you know, kind of taking a step back and being like, okay, let me figure out the nuance of this conversation. Let me understand a little bit better about what this specific person is going through, because everybody is different, right? And I've always been very in tune with the differences of people and, you know, understanding people's different experience and what people's struggles are. But there is a time and a place to, like, really be like, hey, you need to make a decision and it needs to happen now, right? Like, let's say you are launching or whatever, versus if you have a program that's open at all times, or if somebody can always buy your service, right? Then it's like, okay, do you really have to give yourself the pressure of following up with them every 5 seconds? Or could you just, like, chill and let the customer experience and let the customer journey or the buyer's journey just take its time, right? And you can still sign the client. And I recognize that, like, we all have sales goals, and trust me, I'm right there with you with the sales goals, right? Like, I have my own sales goals and stuff like that. But I also recognize that, like, people are not a number, right? Like, our clients, our buyers, our consumers, they are not just a number. So while, yes, you might have sales goals and sales numbers, we should never tie that to the one person that we're talking to in front of us, right? Because once you do that, it really throws off the energy, and people can feel it, right? People can feel when you're just selling them because, like, you have a goal of this many people inside your program, or, you know, you have a revenue goal that you need to hit and you're far from it or whatever. Like, people can feel that energy and it doesn't make them feel good. Again, it's going back to, like, one of the other shifts where it's like, people are more discerning. People are a lot more savvy. People are taking more time in the consideration phase. But also, like, you just gotta do more work. Like, you gotta do more work. And I know, as somebody that, like, is queen of bare minimum, I'm literally sitting here in my pajamas recording this podcast episode with my loud kids, like, I mean, bare minimum for real, because, like, most people would not be recording a podcast episode with their kids. But it's just like, you know, there's a level of, like, you got to do a little bit something more. You know what I'm saying? You got to do a little something more to really get that sale and to it's not even about getting the sale, but it's about building that trust, because that trust factor, once you have that, that's really the key that unlocks the people, like, people buying, right? Like, that's really the key that unlocks it. I know people say a lot about, like, know, like, and trust, but, like, the know and the like can honestly happen after the fact. Like, the know and the like can happen after somebody buys. It's the trust piece that has to happen before people invest with you, right? When people are getting ready to invest, they have to trust you. And the thing is that sometimes, and especially in 2024, just in the current landscape of things, whether it's economically or just in the, you know, online space or whatever, people are just, it's taking a little bit longer for them to build trust, right? And so Anyway, those were my 9 things. I hope you were able to take something away from this, and I hope this didn't overwhelm you, because I don't want you to be overwhelmed. I just want you to be informed about what are the shifts that are happening and what could be some things that might be affecting your sales or your selling process or your buyer's journey or your sales process right now. So that is it for this one. And until next time, I will talk to you later, Nerlin.
Thank you so much for tuning into this episode. I know you loved it, so go ahead and leave a 5-star review. Make sure to share this episode and tag me at Moms Do Business Different and at Mrs. K. Hillman so Ayantha knows it's real. May you walk in your purpose and calling every single day to steward the life and business that God has called you to. Until next time, let's get this money.